Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Addicted to Anxiety. How to Break the Habit is a self-help and mental health book by psychotherapist Owen O'Kane, a former NHS clinical lead and Sunday Times best-selling author. The book addresses anxiety not only as an unpleasant emotional state, but as a learned pattern that can become familiar, protective, and difficult to release. Its central purpose is to help readers understand why worry, overthinking, avoidance, and repeated threat scanning can persist even when they clearly make life harder. Drawing on clinical experience and accessible psychological explanation, the book reframes anxiety as a habit loop sustained by beliefs about safety and control. It is written for general readers, especially chronic overthinkers and people who feel trapped in cycles of anxious preparation, checking, or avoidance. Rather than promising instant calm, it focuses on recognizing mechanisms, identifying triggers, challenging core assumptions, and replacing anxious behaviors with more useful responses. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anxiety is framed as a habit loop rather than only a distress signal. The most distinctive idea in Addicted to Anxiety is its treatment of anxiety as a pattern that can become self-reinforcing. O'Kane does not present anxiety as a personal weakness or as something people simply choose. Instead, he argues that anxious thinking and behavior can become habitual because they appear to offer protection. When a person worries before a difficult event, rehearses every possible outcome, checks repeatedly, or avoids uncertainty, the immediate effect may be a short burst of relief. That relief teaches the brain to repeat the same response next time. Over time, the anxious pattern becomes familiar enough to feel necessary, even when it is exhausting. This framing matters because it shifts attention from vague emotional distress to observable cycles. The reader is invited to ask what anxiety is doing for them in the short term, not just how much they dislike it. The addiction language is therefore used as a metaphor for attachment, repetition, and reinforcement. It makes the problem more concrete while still leaving room for compassion. Secondly, the book examines the false safety created by worry and overcontrol. A central mechanism in the book is the belief that worry keeps a person safe. This belief is often not stated directly, but it can shape behavior powerfully. If someone feels that worrying helps them prepare, prevents mistakes, protects relationships, or reduces danger, then giving up worry may feel risky. O'Kane focuses on this hidden bargain anxiety causes suffering, but it can also seem like evidence of responsibility and vigilance. The problem is that worry often imitates problem solving without producing resolution. It keeps attention fixed on threat, strengthens the sense that uncertainty is intolerable, and encourages the body to remain in a defensive state. The same applies to overcontrol. Planning, checking, and mental rehearsal can be useful in moderation, but when they become compulsory, they narrow life instead of making it safer. By identifying the safety story behind anxiety, readers can begin to distinguish real preparation from repetitive fear management. This distinction is important because it allows change to target the function of anxiety, not merely its surface symptoms. Thirdly, trigger identification is linked to the beliefs that keep anxiety active. The book gives practical weight to the process of identifying triggers, but it treats triggers as more than external events. A meeting, health concern, social exchange, or uncertain message may activate anxiety, yet the deeper issue is often the meaning attached to that event. O'Kane encourages readers to look for the beliefs that turn a situation into a perceived threat. These may include assumptions about failure, rejection, danger, responsibility, or the need to remain constantly prepared. This approach is useful because two people can face the same circumstance and experience very different levels of anxiety depending on the interpretation their mind supplies. Mapping triggers, therefore, becomes a way of uncovering the internal rules that maintain the habit. Once those rules are visible, they can be tested rather than obeyed automatically. The book aligns with familiar psychological principles in this respect, but its habit-based framing makes the work more accessible. Readers are not only naming what sets them off, they are examining the repeated links between situation, belief, anxious response, and short-term relief. Fourthly, compassion for the anxious self prevents the method from becoming self-blame. Because the title uses the language of addiction, the book has to handle blame carefully. One of its important balancing ideas is that the anxious self should be treated with compassion and even gratitude. Anxiety may be disruptive, but it usually develops as an attempt to protect. This matters clinically and practically because shame often strengthens avoidance. If a reader concludes that being anxious means being irrational, weak, or responsible for their suffering, they may become anxious about anxiety itself. O'Kane instead presents anxiety as an understandable survival pattern that has become overused. This stance allows readers to examine their habits without attacking themselves. Compassion also makes change more sustainable. a person is more likely to notice anxious impulses honestly when they do not feel punished for having them. The book, therefore, combines challenge with warmth. It asks readers to question the usefulness of anxious behaviors while recognizing the protective intention behind them. This balance differentiates it from harsher self-discipline approaches that treat anxiety mainly as a thinking error to be corrected. Lastly, behavior replacement is presented as the route from insight to change. Addicted to Anxiety does not stop at explaining why anxiety persists. Its practical direction is to replace anxious habits with more productive behaviors. This is significant because insight alone rarely changes a reinforced pattern. If a person removes worry, checking, reassurance seeking, or avoidance without developing alternative responses, the mind may return to the old pattern under stress. The book, therefore, emphasizes building new habits that can meet the same need more effectively. For example, a reader might learn to pause before following an anxious impulse, separate useful action from repetitive rumination, or respond to uncertainty with tolerable next steps rather than total control. The goal is not to eliminate all anxiety, since anxiety can be normal and sometimes useful. The aim is to reduce its authority over daily decisions. This practical orientation gives the book its self-help function. It translates the addiction metaphor into a change process, identify the loop, understand the reward, interrupt the automatic response, and practice a replacement until a less anxious pattern becomes more available. In conclusion, Addicted to Anxiety is best suited to readers who recognize that anxiety has become repetitive, familiar, and strangely difficult to relinquish. Chronic overthinkers, anxious high achievers, people who rely on preparation or checking to feel safe, and readers who feel caught between wanting peace and fearing uncertainty are likely to find the framework useful. Mental health professionals may also find value in its accessible language for explaining reinforcement, avoidance, and safety behaviors to clients. The practical benefit of the book lies in making anxiety less mysterious. By treating it as a loop rather than a vague emotional enemy, it gives readers a way to observe patterns and intervene more deliberately. Its intellectual benefit is the shift from symptom reduction to function. What does anxiety appear to provide, and why does the mind keep returning to it? Compared with many anxiety self-help books, its distinguishing feature is the addiction-based lens. It does not focus only on calming techniques, cognitive correction, or nervous system regulation, though it is compatible with those approaches. Instead, it asks why anxious behaviors remain compelling despite their cost. That makes the book stand out as a compassionate but direct guide to the attachment people can form with worry, control, and avoidance. If you would like to support ONON039, Kane, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.